Well, good morning, friends. And it is time for Friday with Jim. And I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted on the engineer end of the spectrum here by Terry Wilson. Terry, thanks for being with us this morning. Now, one of the things that we've got coming up this year, of course, is the Astoria Music Festival. And I'm delighted to have with me in the studio a couple of folks from the festival to talk about it. We have Bernice Jones. Bernice, thank you.
Sure.
And Dwight Caswell, both here to talk about various aspects of the festival. Before we dive into that, though, why don't you, Bernice, start with you. Why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm Bernice Jones Centeno, and this is my first time operating as the managing director with the festival. I'm really glad to be here. I love Astoria. I actually got introduced to the festival back in 2009 with Ruth Dobson, one of the founders of the Astoria Music Festival's Vocal Apprentice Program. And Ms. Dobson invited me to come and assist the program. And it was a surprise to me to see how big and beautiful Astoria is in this small town, and then how big and beautiful the festival was. I was sort of in shock, actually, at how much was going on in this town over a spread of about 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And my involvement with the apprentice program also gave me access to the larger festival proper, and that's how I met all the fabulous volunteers that are involved with this program. And as I continued that summer working with the apprentices, I was invited back again several years, and got to know really well the apprentice program, and slowly but surely was finding myself helping with the other part of the festival with, you know, whether it was something like working in the booth to help do some of the sound cues, or whether it was to help artists get from point A to point B and that kind of thing. So I've learned a little bit here and there about how the festival goes. And so this year I'm here working as the managing director.
Yeah, well, that's quite a step up. Dwight, how about you?
Well, I'm a writer and photographer, and I first was introduced to the festival when they asked me to do the photography, which I've done now since 2008, and that led the next year to my being asked to be a board member, and I did that. I was on the board for about 4 years, and then left to do a few other things, and then this past year I was asked by Keith Clark, our conductor and artistic director, if I would be a temporary president while they were looking for somebody else. And temporary somehow became permanent. I told Keith once that you said temporary, and he said, "Did I say that? I don't remember saying that." So at least through this year, I'm board president, and we've pulled together a remarkable board. I have about 50 years experience working with nonprofits, and this is the best board I've ever worked with. They're really invested, competent people who are really behind the festival.
Indeed.
What, Bernice, what kind of program do we have scheduled this summer? What kind of music?
Yeah, great question. So there are, it's a wonderful mix of artists that you know and love and come to expect to see at the festival, as well as some new introductory pieces and so on. So, for example, yes, absolutely, returning to us, Sergei Antonov, Ilya Kazantsev, as well as Angela Mead, they're returning to us, hallelujah. And then there's also returning to us this year, Elizabeth Pitcairn, the woman with the red violin. So we have that group of people that are returning to us, doing fabulous concerts on, let's see, for example, the first weekend, festival weekend, the first opening weekend, we have Elizabeth Pitcairn doing stuff with the festival orchestra, and we also have Sergei doing chamber works along with Carrie Lewis, who is the director of the chamber music program. And then the following major weekend, we are excited because we have the, and Angela Mead has come back to us to do Il Trovatore, which she has just finished at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. So, ladies and gentlemen, and that's at rave acclaim, please know we are so lucky that these people are coming back to us. And then we also have the fun and exciting group three-leg torso that's coming back as well. Mm. They're the gentlemen who did that wonderful mix of, you know, you're going to hear some klezmer, you're going to hear a little bit of the Middle Eastern style of music, you're also going to hear some folk and country. It's just this wonderful band of gentlemen that will come and perform for us as well.
Yeah, they were an instant sellout last time they performed. Mm-hmm. On the June 18th, we have kind of a David Bowie night.
Yeah.
And that's going to be very interesting. There's Philip Glass did a symphony called Heroes.
Yeah.
His fourth symphony based on the album of that name by David Bowie. And there are a bunch of things around the theme of Heroes. And so that's going to be a really, I think, really interesting tribute festival for to David Bowie, which is not the kind of thing you expect to hear maybe at a classical music festival. But one thing that we've always done at the Astoria Festival has always kind of been out on the edge a bit. We've had productions of works that have never been seen in the area or rarely performed, things that are pretty good that have been kind of lost in the world of classical music. And so now we're bringing in something that's also kind of edgy, but it's a different edge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's hasn't been performed for several hundred years. It's a collection of things around a particular very modern theme.
Yeah. And also, what's really wonderful is that the older, the tried and true pieces that we know we love, like Chopin, those composers, and Mendelssohn, Elgar, they're all going to be on the festival program as well. I mean, I'm excited because Ilya Kazantsev, who is known for being Sergei's pianist, he's a pianist in his own right, and he will be doing Chopin's Piano Concerto No. 2, which, if you're familiar at all with any of these works, this is a festival of incredible lyricism. Even Philip Glass's piece is very lyrical and beautiful. And then there's also the tried and true, you know, Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, just this gorgeous piece that you'll recognize it when you hear it, not to mention the lyricism of Verdi's opera. So all of these, it's a wonderful mix, something for everyone. If you prefer contemporary works, there will be some contemporary music. If you prefer, you know, something that's ancient, there will be Mozart's symphonic concertante, those kinds of things that are all available on this program, and I'm excited. And then also, the Apprentice Program offers an opportunity for you to support the stars of tomorrow, we like to call them, and that's going to be on July 1 and 2. So there's something for everybody, I think, this year.
You know, that apprenticeship program, it's interesting to me. Could you talk a little bit about it, describe it, how it works?
Sure. So what happens is we have master teachers from around the country who will come in and basically train students in a very intensive basically almost 3 weeks, where there's a master teacher who will manage the entire process. And that person then has also as their team a vocal coach who will come in. And a coach's responsibility is to help the students understand stylistically appropriate performance. And then that person will also sit at the piano with that person to make sure they're doing it correctly. So they get the one-on-one. The student has a one-on-one access with a master teacher from around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then in addition to that, and these are students who are either finishing up their degrees on the undergraduate or graduate level, and they're just on the crux of beginning a professional career. Some of them might have already done some professional. They might have some professional credits on their resume already, but they're here to get that training. Additionally, they will get on stage time, where the teachers are helping them through the craft of what it's like to be on the stage and actually singing and having it memorized, and what it feels like to have an orchestra under you. A lot of the students, they really need to be referring to them as young artists, because they are on that level where they're ready to be taught to go the next step, which is you're just about ready to start calling some of the arts programs and some of the performance programs around the country to say, hi, I'd like to audition for you. So this is that preparatory step for them when they come here.
Yeah, I've had some of the apprentices stay in my guest room during festivals, and a couple of the early ones are still, I'm on their email list, and mm-hmm. I kind of keep up with how their careers are progressing. They let me, they're on LinkedIn or whatever, they have his latest performance and that kind of thing. So it's really interesting to see these people that have taken off from the festival and where they've gone. Mm-hmm. Another thing, you know, the festival does a lot, and not just education for students coming to the festival from all over. We also do educational programs for local kids. So
yeah.
Back in February, Ilya and Sergey did a series of workshops at the high school here, and I was at one of them to photograph it, and I was just really impressed at the way that the professional musicians engaged with the students, gave them a good idea of what it's like to be a professional musician, answering questions like, do you have to practice a lot? And and they're saying, we're professionals, that's all we do.
Is there study of the history and literature of music? In other words, Western music that we're familiar with kind of started out in Greece and Rome and migrated through the Dark Ages, and then we ended up with the Romantic and Classic period, all of that. Do these students study that history and literature?
So the students that are involved in the apprentice program, typically they're in already, they've completed some level of background study at the universities where they're attending. A part of the association with an apprentice program is that you've already gotten a lot of that background. And so when they come here, they're probably finishing up a bachelor's degree in music or mm-hmm. a master's degree in music or some level where they've already gotten a lot of that historical background. So when they're working with the coach is there to say, okay, so you understand what it means on the book in terms of, yes, these are Mozart's dates, but this is the style approach that you need to do. These were the practices, that Mozart himself would have used when he was teaching one of his famous sopranos the role of Constanze, for example, from any of his operas. This is exactly what these students are getting here with our coaches and our teachers that come from all of the best places, whether it's teachers who have been teaching at UCLA or Westminster Choir College or any of these places all over the place. Roosevelt in Chicago, Alan Glassman has been one of our teachers. Richard Zeller has been one of our teachers. And these are all names that are known professionally all over the country as well as internationally. And they come here, and these students, these young artists, get absolute up close and personal. And we will also have a couple, if they're at the level to do so, to sing minor roles in the main stage production of Il Trovatore. That's a part of their audition process. If they're good enough, they get to get on stage with Angela Mead and the other artists like Marianne McCormick and so on. So this is what we look forward to every year, and that's why we call them the Stars of Tomorrow.
Well, Dwight, it sounds to me like this is really kind of an outstanding program to happen in a little town like Astoria. How did it come about that this kind of energy evolved and we get this amazing display of first-class music right here in Astoria?
Well, historically, it goes back to Keith Clark's visit with some friends of classical music who were in the process of restoring the Liberty back when he first moved to Oregon. He was living in Portland, still is, and he was impressed with the energy of the people here and their interest, and he also thought that the acoustics of the Liberty were comparable to any great hall in Europe, and he just was so impressed with the Liberty as a performance space.
Hmm.
That they did one concert, and he said, well, let's do an annual thing. And what Keith does very well, very few people could do, he has the contacts and the skills from a lifetime of conducting that he knows a lot of people who he gets to come to this little town to do these really fantastic professional performances. Just because they're friends of his, basically, and they enjoy coming out. For them, it's kind of a break. You know, it's camp. They get to come out. they get to just sing without having or play their instrument or whatever it is, without having to worry about working for a major company and all the pressures that their career usually has. They just come out here and have a good time. And that, as much as any other reason, is why this is successful. It's because they just like hanging out in Astoria.
Yep.
And Astorians seem to like hanging out with them, so it works out very nicely. And we, by the way, that made me think of all the support we get from the local restaurants and bars. So, yeah, we send them a lot of musicians, and they help us out too. So I really like the way that the festival is linked into the whole town. The way everybody gets behind the festival, and the way the festival, when the festival's going, there isn't a restaurant you don't have to make a reservation at, and there isn't a room in town that's available. So it's good, it's good for the town economically as well as culturally.
Well, I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and Terry Wilson and myself are having a wonderful conversation with Bernice Jones and Dwight Caswell, talking about the upcoming, once again, Astoria Musical Festival. How many years have we been doing this, Dwight?
This is the 14th.
14th. Yeah. Wow. How time flies. I'm wondering, you mentioned how the musicians like coming to this town, and maybe you could describe the interaction between this influx of highly educated musicians into a little fishing village.
Well, we're not really a little fishing village anymore. There's fishing there, but we have a growing arts community here. And in fact, I'm on the County Arts Council. The very fact that the county, decided they needed an arts council indicates that the arts are having an ever-growing role in the life of the community, and I think that's great. In fact, one of our board members is Sarah Nebaker, so we've got a county commissioner, the widow of a great artist, and she's on our board. And so there's a, and I think over the course of those 14 years, the community has come to know that the kind of music we present in a way that they never did before. I mean, how many people who live in small rural towns have the opportunity to be exposed to this kind of music? I know I grew up in a small rural town. I certainly didn't. Keith Clark grew up in a small rural town, and he got interested in classical music at a school field trip to a symphony. And that's the kind of thing that really changes lives. I think how this happened and all that isn't so important as what it's done to the life of the community or for the life of the community.
Now, Bernice, one of the I hate to use the word star, but one of the stars of the program is the cellist Sergei. Could you talk a little bit about him and his participation here?
Sure. So my introduction to Sergei was one of the earlier years of my being involved with the program. And, everybody kept talking about, oh, you're going to love this guy. You're going to love. And I thought, okay, I can't wait. So I sat at the Liberty Theater after a long day of being involved with the apprentice program. And I sat down and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. I hope this guy's good because I'm really tired. And as he began playing, I can't even explain to you the excitement that just reminded me of how amazing this festival. He was part of that reminder for me of how amazing this festival is. I just had this excitement, the energy burned through your body that wakes you up and, gives you this new excitement. And so that was my introduction to Sergei. And this past February, like Dwight was mentioning, when he was in town working with the kids, he has what most artists sort of envy, and that is the ability to perform at the drop of a hat with all kinds of audiences. So here we were at these two schools. We actually went to the high school first, where he sat and listened to the high school student orchestra play, and then right after that, he started giving them encouragement about what they need to do to get to his level and get to the professional level, and so he encouraged them to keep practicing. And at first, the kids were really nervous, but because of his way of disarming you and his wonderful, honest way of just speaking with you, the kids started to relax, and they just started asking him tons and tons of questions. And then, of course, they became slightly more intimidated again when he played, but he still managed to make them feel like it's okay, it'll be fine. And my favorite thing that he did was he encouraged the kids to come to the concert, and he said, "We'll be sure to get you in for free." Of course, as the managing director, I went, oh, what a huge promise. But this is a part of what matters to him, and of course it matters to us at the festival, that these young people also have that opportunity to jump in and watch this the festival. And that's a part of who he is. He realizes and recognizes the importance of the next generation having access to something like what the festival does for their own sake, whether it's going to be that they're going to run the Liberty Theater someday, or whether they're going to run the festival someday, or whether they're going to be the next Sergei. So we have to take that on seriously, and he's reminded us. So this is beyond just his incredible ability to play that instrument, which is just unlike things that you get used to in other places, but he has that ability, as well as he understands the importance of the next generation, which is wonderful because he's so young himself. But he has a son.
How old is he?
I'm not sure. He's young. I think we're safe to just say he's young. I know 30-ish. He has a son.
He has a 5-year-old son.
Yeah.
So he's 30-ish.
And so he's really good at making sure we all think about this next group, because I think it matters to him that his son works in a world that appreciates classical music and the arts in general. So.
Yeah, that kind of leads into a question that one of our listeners called in. And the listener asks, how and when to potential young artists apply? In other words, an interested youngster, how would he go about getting involved?
Sure. So we have the apprentice program, and there's an instrumental apprentice program as well as the vocal apprentice program. And so the quickest way to find out what's going on, we will have the updated information shortly, and you simply go to getaccepted.com and submit information about who you are and your interest and your capacity to play or sing. We avoid going too much younger than 18 years of age because the schedule is pretty intense. So anyone 18 years of age and older is welcome to apply. Their materials will be reviewed, and we will be in touch about acceptance into the program.
Yeah, we did have one gal who was 14, who was...
Maddie,
yeah. Nobody could believe that voice was 14. So there are exceptions, but they're exceptions.
They're very rare, and the reason Maddie was able to be a part of it was because she was an exceptional young artist with a huge support mechanism of family and friends here in town.
Right.
We are very cautious about accepting anyone under 18 just because it's a big program. It's very, very, very intensive, and we need the support of anyone that's going to be under that age. We need parental support here on site.
Now, Dwight, I see that the festival has an office opened up downtown. I'm wondering if you could describe the management structure. How is this very complicated festival managed, and who does it?
You're asking the wrong person. The manager is sitting to my right there, Verinas. But it's a coordination. When it works best, it's coordination. Sometimes it's, did you do that? Who did that kind of thing? But there's the board that sets policy and reviews everything that's been going on, and they have a meeting monthly. We're going to be starting to meet more frequently as the festival gets closer. And then Keith, as the artistic director, is putting together the program, lining out the musicians, and Barinas is the one who kind of juggles all the balls in the office and make sure that all the bright ideas actually get done.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you here full time, Barina?
I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's The ideal situation is that you have over a year to pull everything together. I started working at the end of January, and the learning curve is huge. It's great. It's massive. And so I have a lot that I'm learning, and this poor board is very patient with me as I say, is this what I do? And so there's a lot of work for us to do, and we have 2 months to pull it all off, and we're having fun in the process of getting it done, because the excitement of getting this happening is really what matters to us, and getting people to come to the productions, getting the artists in town, and getting the community that's being
wonderful and finding places
supporting
for them to stay.
Yes, you know, finding places. Thing, yeah. And the other thing that really is, I'm going to go ahead and say it, volunteers are incredible. This community is known for its spirit of volunteerism. And I'm excited because we have lots for volunteers to do. So if you're interested, please give me a call at 503-325-9896. We have lots of space for you to volunteer.
Very well done, Brina.
Thank you.
You snuck that in very nicely.
So, Brina, then it's kind of a full-time job for you.
It is not kind of. It is absolutely a full-time
job.
Year-round.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It is a full-time. It is. The festival takes a lot to pull together. It's kind of, you know, pay no attention to the guy behind the curtain. But there are about 750,000 guys behind the curtain for the festival to happen. So.
And then... go ahead, Terry. Terry Wilson.
Yeah, this is Terry, and as we're winding down the program, I want to put in a shameless plug for Tillicum Foundation. We broadcast the festival, almost all performances, live and on the internet. And I'll never forget, I think it was 2 years ago, we had a male singer from China, Shanghai, I believe, and his parents and his family listen to the broadcast live in Shanghai, broadcast from Astoria.
That's cool.
Fantastic. Way to go, KMUN.
Yeah, it's nice to know the festival's international now.
Woot.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. On this program, I had somebody from the Oyster Company up on Willapa Bay, and her family lived in Brazil. And they were able to tune in on the internet and listen to the program live.
Wonderful. That's great. That's great.
The music, we just have a couple of minutes left, but the music seems to focus pretty much on later era, classical period, the Romantic classical period. Do we ever get any Baroque music or anything earlier than that?
Sure. We've previously enjoyed several concerts of early music. I think this time we certainly have Mozart. We go all the way back to 18th century, so we get that far back. But for sure, there are times where the focus will change, right? And so this year we have a little bit more towards the contemporary and that kind of thing. And a part of that has to do with the changing structure of the community. Astoria definitely has a good number of people who have relocated here, and so their interest will be on some of the newer pieces, such as what we're featuring with the David Bowie work.
Well, I know that you have some contemporary folks involved. I'm thinking particularly of the young Nebuchadnezzar, Israel Nebuchadnezzar. Isn't he involved in the program somehow?
He's joined us. He joined us last year and was performing with us, and he certainly has been featured in a couple of on-the-side concerts that we have coming up to the festival and so on. And he absolutely is important to us, and his mom, Sarah, is on
right.
board as well.
Well, and Israel did perform for a little fundraiser we did at a dinner at the Armingtons, and he has the distinction. Last year, he was the first musician ever to play at the festival. The ukulele.
That's great.
Yeah, well, that's something. Well, we got to wind it down here. It's been Friday here with Jim and been visiting with Dwight Caswell and Bernice Jones and talking about the Astoria Musical Festival. Now, when exactly is it this year? The dates?
June 18th through July 3rd.
June 18th through July 3rd. So, I'm hoping everybody's going to put that on their calendar, Terry. And
well, we should mention, too, that the festival passes go on sale a week from today. And a week after that, the individual tickets are on sale.
Right.
And be sure for festival passes, you'll want to call the Liberty Box office at 503-325-5922, extension 55. And again, the festival passes, that's the pass that purchases all the tickets. They'll be available beginning next week, Friday. And then all the other tickets for single ticket purchasers will be available after that.
Well, it's a hot ticket, so I'd urge everybody to get there early and get their tickets. And I'd like to thank you both for being with us here.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you
Friday
for inviting us.
And I'd urge our listeners to stick around for Albert Smith and his always wonderful Friday Folk Show. And until next week, goodbye.
Support for Friday with Jim is provided in part by the Daily Astorian and dailyastorian.com, a leading source for news on the North Coast, published 5 days a week in print and every day online, and Our Coast magazine, showcasing the beauty and attractions of the Columbia Pacific region.